Today on Seculo, Israel hits Iran overnight.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Seculo. We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110. And now your host, Jordan Seculo.
All right, folks, you may have seen it last night. It could have been even early afternoon, depending on where you are in the United States or around the world. But Israel has responded with military action against Iran. And we confirm at least that there have been strikes inside the Islamic Republic of Iran. There have been other reports. Those have yet to be confirmed about strikes on Iranian targets, potentially inside Syria as well as Iraq. But we know that there have been strikes inside Iran, one very close to the I'd maybe call it infamous Natanz nuclear plant. Now, this is a plant that you may have heard the name before, because if you've heard the Iranian nuclear deal, the JCPOA, this has been the nuclear plant where there's been so much focus on whether even when the JCPOA, that Joint Plan of Cooperation, was put in place between the United States and the P5 plus one, so the permanent five members of the Security Council plus Germany and Iran, about monitoring their nuclear program. Well, there were always issues about Natanz. And why is that an issue? Well, Israel might have hit Natanz, the nuclear base. Iran is saying there's no nuclear issues that they're dealing with right now, but they've had to make that statement to their citizens, which means this strike was very close to Natanz. You've also got a huge military base there, an airfield. So it may have been a strike on Iran's airfield. We are continuing to get more information. On today's broadcast, we're going to bring you reports from former Brigadier General Amir Avivi. He's going to be joining us in the first half hour of the broadcast. Jeff Balaban, who oversees our office, ACLJ Jerusalem, is going to join us in this broadcast as well. And we've got our whole team in place to kind of walk you through what news has been confirmed, what is yet to be confirmed. We do know now from Secretary of State Tony Blinken, he has made remarks this morning already. He said a few things. The U.S. got some notice before this attack occurred. It looks like this was all done by either drones or missiles or some projectiles. It does look like there were actually manned aircraft, but there certainly were, of course, military warheads and military aircraft, even if unmanned, flying over what would be other countries' airspace. And so we're still, again, would confirm in many of those countries, the U.S. has got bases as well, and there's activity. So, again, a surprise attack because the U.S. was only given warning. And that could have just been minutes before this attack occurred. It could have been a little bit longer. So the U.S. knew not to shoot down whatever Israel utilized to get the explosive devices there. You know, these unmanned drones are very popular now. That's what Iran used for smaller attacks and more targeted attacks, as well as ballistic missiles. You don't have to nest. You know, this is a pretty close region of the world. That being said, the U.S. also has tried to make clear, and this is interesting, that it had no role in this with Iran, with Israel in this attack on Iran. Now, I would understand why the U.S. maybe publicly would want to make that statement. So what we have to figure out is, and what we'll try to break down over really the next days, and even when we talk to you next week, is how involved was the United States, and where will the United States be over the weekend and by Monday? Are they going to be condemning Israel? Because, folks, this is the time, this is the moment where we have got to stand with our ally, Israel. We're going to bring you all of the latest news about Israel's response to that Iranian attack. Israel has hit back and hit back aggressively. What happens next in the Middle East? You got to stand with Israel. Stand with our office, ACLJ Jerusalem. We'll get a report there. When we come back for this break, go to ACLJ.org right now. Be part of our Life and Liberty Drive. Double the impact of your donation. That's at ACLJ.org. We stand with Israel. You stand with Israel. Show that support today. We'll be right back on Seculo.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary, to go the extra mile, to do what is right no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Seculo. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Hey, welcome back to Seculo. This is Jordan Seculo. Folks, we are covering what is Israel's response to that unprecedented attack by Iran. And for the first time, you know, there's been a kind of a Cold War. There's been actual, you know, assassinations. There have been certainly the use of proxies by Iran. Iran, in one sense, has been at war with Israel for decades, if you consider the fact that they're proxies like Hezbollah, their proxies like, of course, Hamas and the October 7th attacks, and it's been earlier than that as well. But what has become unprecedented is the attack that came out of Iran into Israel, and then Israel's response. And that response came. Remember, the attack by Iran was primarily about, they were talking about 1,000 drones, some ballistic missiles, and a lot of countries in the Middle East. You had Jordan, you had Egypt, the U.S., of course, in our interest there, the UAE, came together in taking down a lot of that aircraft, along with the defense systems that Israel has. But Israel wasn't just going to sit there and say, well, you could just shoot missiles and ballistic missiles and drones at us, and just because we shoot them down doesn't mean we're not going to fire back on you. So this is breaking new ground in the Middle East, as Israel, for the first time, has confirmed that they have fired into Iran, targeting what appears to be it's either an Iranian military base or their a major nuclear facility, which is right next to that military base as well. I want to go to Jeff Balaban, who directs our office, ACLJ Jerusalem. Of course, Jeff, we're just starting to get details from this as it happened overnight in the Middle East. And people were, I think it was evening here in the United States about this response from Israel. But what we do know now from the United States is that Israel had to go it alone here. Maybe no one got in their way. No allies actually got physically in their way. But they did not, at least the U.S., was coming out. They're not standing with Israel. They're not saying, we support these actions. They're saying, actually, we had some knowledge of them right before, and that they hope the tensions will go down.
Yes, Jordan, the way this is proceeding is fascinating, and it's all very groundbreaking. So as you point out, in terms of the geopolitics of this, the fact that Iran is now launched from its own territory into Israel's territory, and of course, I'll note that, of course, Iran seemed to, nothing hit, but seemed to be launching against population areas. Israel's response, and again, Israel hasn't even taken official credit for this, but the world is assuming it's Israel. Israel's response has been directed at very strategic, tactical, military targets. Again, showing the difference between the two nations. One wants genocide and one is just trying to live and defend itself. And as it defends itself, defends the West. That's the first part. The second, you know, on the ground in Jerusalem, it's or just in Israel, it's very interesting. The home front command is a very important component of daily life in Israel. Obviously, since October 7th, it's become to the fore. And so there's billboards and ads, constantly information about what home front command is telling Israelis to do. The home front command basically released guidance that Israelis should take shelter or be careful not long ago, and basically created a situation where life seemed to be normal again, within the context of post-October 7th normal. And so all of this, people are saying, might have been strategically or tactically to not alert the other side, not Iran, that an attack was so imminent, that maybe if it's going to come, it's going to come later. Even the home front told people to act as though it's normal. So this has been a fascinating, sort of sub rose, a very under the table operation that took the world by surprise.
I want to play what Iran's Minister of Foreign Affairs, after Iran launched its unprecedented attack on Israel, Iran was quick to come out and say, and by the way, this is what will happen if Israel responds. Now we'll actually see, can they put their money where their mouth is? They're big talkers in Iran. That first strike, again, it was very dangerous to do so, but it wasn't very effective on Israel. Of course, any loss of life is horrible, but you know, you put up 1,000 drones and ballistic missiles and they're all getting shot down. Doesn't look great for your military, but we know Iran's got plenty more to shoot back. The question is, will they? This is what they said they would do if Israel took an action against Iran inside Iran. That's what's key here. This isn't hitting Hezbollah in Lebanon. This is not hitting Hamas in Gaza. Take a listen to the Iranian foreign minister.
In case the Israeli regime embarks on adventurism again and takes action against the interests of Iran, the next response from us will be immediate and at a maximum level.
So I want to go to Will Case, who with our team is a senior producer on The Secular Show. Will's in the studio also. This is another Will. You know Will Haynes. This is Will Case, who's also on our team. So a lot of the people behind the scenes and Ali as well have been putting together this show for us throughout the evening so we can get to you today with this latest news as well. Many of us are traveling. As you can tell, my background's a little different today. Just to kind of explain to people, I know we're going to put a map up as well of where these attacks were centered, where they focused so far, what we know and what's been confirmed inside Iran is, you know, near a nuclear facility that a lot of people heard of called Natanz, which is also very close to a major Iranian military airbase.
Yeah, so the explosions were reported by Iran, actually, on the ground there near Isfahan, which is the central part of Iran. And the way that it's being reported by them, obviously, is a little bit different than the media, the Western media, right? But there doesn't appear to be any injuries or casualties, which is very interesting in how this this whole thing is escalating, right? Because like you guys pointed out earlier, the unprecedented attacks last week and on Saturday that Iran launched, you know, 300 plus up to maybe 1,000 missiles or drones over Israel were over the populated areas. So this is a very targeted and very direct attack in Iran from Israel for the first time. And there are reports that are unconfirmed all over there were some in northern Iran and by the nuclear facilities, which are kind of scattered. I believe there's 7 total areas. And so there were a lot of reports about up to 7 different areas within Iran where the nuclear or military facilities are located. But right now we know that the only area that has been confirmed that has taken damage, if you will, is Isfahan there in central Iran, which is a key area of their military operations.
Yeah, I mean, Jeff, listen, I didn't expect Israel to sit back. We saw right away from Benjamin Netanyahu, he had announced that one action that he needed to see from the world was sanctions. Now, the U.S. government is working through that now to some extent in the House of Representatives and the votes this weekend, even on Israeli aid. I think this will change some of the discussions that they're happening in Washington, D.C. I mean, literally, that we were having on the broadcast yesterday, the world has changed yet again. How much do you think this changes the entire region? I mean, Iran has lost, doesn't have a ton of friends in that region, though they have certainly been playing differently since kind of the end of the Trump administration and how the Abraham Accords have fallen apart. I mean, to me, this is just another example of the disastrous foreign policy of the Biden administration. I mean, Iran felt emboldened, Jeff, to strike Israel directly, and now Israel has had to respond directly. I mean, this is how you get to another world war. At least regional.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right, Jordan. Look, Israel is extremely sensitive to Americans, to whoever sits in the White House. Israel knows that America has always been its strongest ally. But this president and this administration is not as strong an ally as Obama was not as strong an ally. And the fact is, Obama first broke ground with creating daylight between Israel policy and America policy, and in fact, not advising Israel of what it was going to do in the region, which threatened Israel directly. And you see now, the aftermath of Israel shooting down that ridiculous, I mean, massive, unprecedented launches from Iran into Israel's own territory was to take the win, as the president said. What does that mean, take the win? It's not a win for Israel to allow Iran or any country to launch a barrage of missiles into its airspace and try to wipe out its population. That is not a win. Israel had no choice but to react. And as you point out, the vast difference, I mean, the night and day difference between what we're seeing now and what we saw under the previous administration, under President Trump, which led to massive breakout of peace, normalization, true friendships, I mean, actually warm peace between Israel and a number of Arab states that are also now, as a result, much stronger American allies, has all been destroyed by this notion of appeasement to Iran by this administration. And Israel knows it has to survive, so Israel's striking back.
We're going to be joined in the next segment of the broadcast by General Amir Avivi, a former brigadier general in the IDF, to break this down for us from the military angle. And again, I mean, we will now see how the world begins to respond. As I told you, the United States response from our Secretary of State has been so far, we got some warning of the attack. We did not assist in the attack or plan in the attack. Of course, they didn't try to stop it or shoot down anything that was fired out of Israel, and neither did the other countries that those aerial objects. Now, depending on what was fired, that may have been more difficult or nearly impossible with no notice. But we will, again, we're going to get more information here. And will Iran actually strike back? I mean, is this going to continue or escalate a conflict? I will continue this discussion, but we know this. During our Life and Liberty drive, you know we stand with Israel. And those over 100 hostages still being held by Hamas. Never forget that. The IDF soldiers fighting in the Gaza Strip against terror. We need you to stand with Israel. Now, they've had to hit back on Iran, and the world is not standing with them. But we can. Support the ACLJ, double your impact, ACLJ.org.
Hey, everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken, and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Our legal teams will be focusing on the issues that you, our ACLJ members, have told us matter the most to you, life and religious liberty. We're redoubling our efforts to beat back the radical left's attack on your constitutional religious freedoms and to defend the sanctity of human life. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. This is not just a call to fund our legal battles. This is your moment to get in the fight. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled, dollar for dollar, through the ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive, giving you twice the impact to defend your freedoms and help us fight to literally save lives. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.
Champions aren't born. Champions are ordinary people just like you who choose to do the extraordinary. To go the extra mile, to do what is right, no matter the cost. It can be a difficult choice, but one any of us can make, including you. You can make a difference. You can be a champion. The legal battles we fight and the victories we've won are only possible because of the support of ACLJ members like you. But many of our cases take not only weeks, but months and sometimes years. By setting up a monthly donation, ACLJ champions ensure we have the resources we need to take on these critical legal battles and win. By becoming a monthly donor, you become a champion of life, a champion of liberty, and a champion of freedom. Become an ACLJ champion today. Go to aclj.org/champion.
Hey folks, welcome back to Seculo. As you can see, we are scattered across the country and world right now. And we are really grateful to be joined in just a moment by General Amir Avivi. He's a former retired Brigadier General in the IDF to talk through the strikes Israel made against Iran. The question now is, where do we go from here? But I want to go to Jeff Balaban right now. So you don't have too many voices to listen to because we're scattered around the country. I'm traveling today because he is going to talk directly to Brigadier General, retired Amir Avivi right now.
General Avivi, overnight news around the world that Israel has retaliated for Iran's strike against Israel. However, as far as I know, as of this morning in America, and this afternoon in Israel, Israel has not officially taken responsibility for what happened. Can you update us on what the situation is, what you know about it, what you can share about it?
Well, Israel indeed didn't take responsibility. Israel basically had three options. One is not to retaliate at all and go along with the American policy that wants to deal with this diplomatically, imposing sanctions, maybe snapbacking from the JCPOA, and concentrating on the next step, which is Rafah. The option was using this window of opportunity to attack fiercely the nuclear installations of Iran, but with the consequences of a full-scale war in the north with Hezbollah and Iran. And this is before we reach our goals in Gaza. And the third option was to do a pinpointed operation, maybe even without taking responsibility, enabling a reality where the Iranians can really disregard it and not continue the attacks and escalate the situation. And if indeed Israel did the attack, I think this is the option that was chosen. On one hand, the Iranian regime saw how accurately Israel can attack them deep in Iran, inflicting damage where Israel wants to and when it wants to. On the other hand, I think both sides at the moment don't want a full-scale war between each other. The Iranians understood that probably they did a big mistake attacking Israel and waking up the whole West, understanding how dangerous Iran is, and moving forward with plans to implement sanctions. And Israel hasn't changed its overall strategy, which is being in the offensive in Gaza until we destroy Hamas. And destroying Hamas means going into Rafah.
General, let me ask you a question. You represent, your organization represents, that you founded the largest group of Israeli military commanders in any organization, I think, in the history of Israel, other than the IDF itself. What's your sense in terms of the military versus what we're hearing diplomatically around the world in terms of what Israel must do? It's the first part of the question. And second, there seems such a stark contrast between what we're seeing now, which is explosive war and cataclysm in the Middle East, attacks on Israel from Hamas, from all kinds of Iranian proxies, from Iran itself now, and what we had just a few years ago, which seemed to be huge peace, normalization, stability. And what's the path forward here? What do we need to see, both in terms of Israel and in terms of America's role, in your opinion?
Well, these two are completely connected. And the reason why moderate Sunni countries wanted to normalize relations with Israel is the Iranian threat. This is exactly why they needed an alliance with Israel and also enhancing the alliance with the U.S. They understood that they are losing U.S. support. The U.S. is not dependent anymore on Middle Eastern oil and therefore less obligated to be involved and defend Sunni countries like Saudi Arabia and the Emirates. They saw it as an opportunity to do the connection, to connect the U.S., Israel with them, to stand strong against Iran. And this now is even more crucial, because now we're talking not just about Iran, we're talking about Russia, that now is dependent on Iranian capabilities and has got much closer to Iran. We're talking about China, that has aspirations to enhance their involvement in the Middle East, and they are also supporting the Russian and Iranian economies and buying huge amounts of oil from Iran. So we see this Eastern front. Iranians are talking about that. They are saying the U.S. has lost the leadership in the world. New forces are emerging. The East is becoming stronger. And they're referring also to China and Russia, which they feel are allies of Iran. And for that reason, we need both. We do need a coalition. We need to build an alliance that will spread all the way to Indonesia, Pakistan, Oman, and the Middle East, to stand strong against Iran, and also to try and draw more countries to this alliance, meaning Iraq, Lebanon, countries that might ally themselves more with the East than the West.
I have one final question for you before you have to go, I know, which is the idea that we will negotiate with Iran, that we'll negotiate their nuclears, as opposed to standing strong and being a deterrent threat. It seems to be the different positions taken by Israel's allies, most notably the United States of America. And that seems to have wrought that kind of a change. Speaking from a role both as defending the people of Israel in the land of Israel, but also being on the front line of this global jihad. I mean, after all, Iran has repeatedly threatened death to America. Iran has been in pursuit of and received intercontinental ballistic missiles, which can reach America. What should America's role be, in your opinion, in terms of defending both Israel, but also, more importantly for America, America itself?
Iran has global aspirations. They want global domination. They want to control all the strains. They want to control world economy. And the only way to deal with them is with strength, is posing a credible military threat, is demanding they dismantle all their nuclear capabilities and sites. If they don't do that, they need to be attacked. There is no appeasement with Iran. Iran only understands harsh power, and this is what is expected from the U.S., to lead globally, to build a coalition, to stand strong against Iran. And this, by the way, will balance the world also globally. It will deter also China from attacking Taiwan, will deter Russia from further aggression in Europe. Without American leadership, the whole globe destabilizes.
Thank you, General Avivi. I don't know if we have any more time, but if just a couple of seconds, if you can. America immediately called for a Palestinian state after October 7th. In your opinion, does that make the situation better or worse? Is that realistic now or anytime in the foreseeable future?
Talking about a Palestinian state when 1,200 Israelis were butchered, where we have hostages, where we suffered the worst attack since the Holocaust, is giving a price to terror. The Palestinians shouldn't get any price for attacking Israelis, for decapitating heads, for hostages, for burning people alive. And it's not just talking about two-state solution, it's also what kind of two-state solution, what the U.S. administration is trying to push will basically endanger Israel existentially, and we're not going to have a reality where Israel is endangered existentially again.
Okay. General Avivi, thank you so much for joining us and giving us this very important update. God bless you and keep you safe. Thank you.
Hey everyone, this is Jordan Sekulow. You've spoken and we've heard you loud and clear. That's why this month we're doing something big. We're proud to announce our brand new ACLJ Life and Liberty Drive. Life and liberty are the cornerstones of our great nation, but they're not guaranteed. When the values we hold dear are under attack, it's up to all of us to take a stand or risk losing them forever. Just as before, every tax-deductible gift will be doubled. Join the ACLJ in the fight to keep America free.